the chains. Break the chains. Who wants to see their family walk in the blessedness of God? It's amazing. This is not a word that will tickle your ears, but it will be a word that can set you captive free. It will be a word that if we abide by it, we'll make a foundation in my house for generations to come. Who wants your seed to be in the things of the kingdom of God? Amen. Well, I just want to tell you this morning, it all starts with you. If you're the head of the house, specifically men, if man is not there, the woman, it will begin with you. Amen. So this morning, I want to challenge us to come up to another level of maturity in Christ. You probably won't hear much of people preaching this sort of word, and I pray you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, because I believe what's happening in the body is not so much the devil, it's the people in the church are stopping the flow of God in their own life. The devil's not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at a time. You know that, don't you? He's not God. He's got his little cohorts floating around and all that sort of stuff. But that shouldn't be my principal concern. My principal concern should be anchored in Christ and let God deal with the rest of the stuff that's coming against me in my house. Amen. But God is a God of principles. Who understands that? Whether you're saved or unsaved, he will bless his principle. That's why you will see in the world, you will even see people that are not Christians have a blessed marriage because they're following principles of God. You don't have to be a Christian to have a blessed marriage. If you follow the principles of God, honoring your wife, loving your wife, loving your children, God will bless that. It doesn't mean you can have the fullness of everything he has, because that comes at a sonship. But he will bless, because he reigns on the just and the, and he allows the sun to shine on both of them. Amen. Where's my book? Over here. So we're going to go a little bit into the word this morning. Is that okay? And then we're going to share, and we're going to eat bread together. And if it chokes you, spit it out. And ask God to help you regurgitate it, because meat belongs to the sons. Amen. And so we're going to chew a bit of meat. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. He's going to break the chains, and so you've got to say to yourself, it's going to stop with me right here. Say that with me. It's going to stop with me right here. It's going to stop with me right here. You can have the beginning of a new thing in your family, in your household, right here, today. That can affect generations after you. Amen. Exodus 20 and 5 says this. These are the Ten Commandments. I'm on.
You're on, baby.
Filthy devil. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. These are idols. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. What is he?
Jealous.
Who's he jealous of? No, he's not jealous of idols. He's jealous over you. He's jealous of your love. Amen. I'm a jealous God visiting. Notice his visits. He doesn't place. He visits, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Notice it doesn't mention the second generation. Of those who what?
Hate me.
Of those who what?
Hate me.
Of those who what?
Hate me.
Hate me. As a Christian, are you a hater of God? If you're a hater of God, you're not even a Christian. I'm serious. If you're a hater of God, you ain't a Christian. Of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who what? Those who love me and keep my... You have to put them together. Love and keep. Love and keep. Amen? Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those whom love me and keeping my commandments. God shows mercy and grace and a love towards those who will keep, love him and keep his commandments. Love him and keep his commandments. Turn with me to Exodus 34, 6 and 7. It says, keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving the what? There's three, I've mentioned these words because some Christians put them all together and label them as one thing called sin. They are not. They are unique. They are different. It says, forgiving the iniquity and the transgressions and the sin. Iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Iniquity, transgressions, and sin. He visits the iniquity of the father to the third and fourth generation. He doesn't visit the sin of the father on the third and fourth generation. He comes and he visits them to see if them children are walking in the ways of the father. If they're walking in the ways of the father in the iniquity or idolatry or whatever, they're going against God, there's a judgment. He allows that course to take it, that thing to take its course in their life. And his heart is for them to turn. His heart is not to punish. His heart is for them to turn. That's what he says. He doesn't place the iniquity upon me. He visits that iniquity saying, have you changed your heart? Have you changed your mind? How does the child walk in the iniquity of a father? Well, the father must be walking in iniquity. And then as the head of the house, he's not changing the atmosphere of his home. In fact, what he is doing, he is speaking everything opposite to what God stands for, and he's building something in the realm of the atmosphere. And therefore, the child picks up what's on the father. Are you with me? This is really speaking about character and integrity of the father in his household, and not speaking vile things, not speaking anti-God things, not speaking anti-people God things, and building an atmosphere of righteousness and justice in his house. Amen? Where's my glasses, love? Yeah. He doesn't impose upon the children the sin of the father. I want to clarify something very quickly here, and I know it might rock someone's boat, but I need to say it. As a Christian, you are not cursed. Because cursed is he, the book of Galatians tells me, who hung upon a tree. He took my curse. But as a Christian, you can walk in iniquity. Amen. You can walk in transgression. And you can operate in sin. Are you with me? So I'm not with this thing that I pray against the curses of my third and fourth and fifth generation behind me. Because if I'm following him, that is broken by the power of the blood. It is sealed. It is gone. I am not accountable for my dad's sin. I'm not accountable for my great-grandfather's sin. Amen. I will stand before him for my sin. Are you with me? Otherwise, what you will have is this condemnation and turmoil and going back into genealogy, wondering what they've touched, wondering what they've said, wondering what they're going to do, and all this stuff. And here, I'm sorry, but there's been ministries that have actually established themselves on this sort of thing, and it is garbage. You do not have to worry. If you're walking in the things of God, that thing in your life is broken in Jesus' name. But what you've got to be careful of, dads and mums, is establishing an atmosphere of iniquity in my home. How do I do that? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 24. We're going to talk about that in a minute. 24:16. Next slide, son. 24:16 says this: fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Are you with me? That have we established that? I am not accountable for my genealogy. I'm not accountable to my genealogy at all. 2 Kings 14:6 says this: but the children of the murderers he did not execute, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor the children put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own, say, my own sin. My own sin. Ezekiel 18:4-1 says this: the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? What a proverb. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, yet it's the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, they're tasting of the fruit of what the fathers have eaten. And the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. So no matter what my background is, my father could have been a murderer. He could have been a rapist. He could have been bad. The minute I come to Jesus Christ, I am no longer in that lineage, because now I'm in the lineage of Christ that has got no hold on me. Some of his garbage could be still residing within me, of thoughts, ways, concepts, ideas, loves, whatever, which I will have to deal with. These are the iniquities. Iniquity literally means this: bent thoughts, crooked ways, wicked ideas. It talks about the character of the man, all right? Not the actions or the intent of the man, the character of the man. And all of us, no one's exempt from this, are dealing with stuff. Amen? Some of it's been deposited prior through the thought life or the wording of what my father might have spoke, my grandfather might have spoke, or whatever, the ideology of whatever they said, the process of whatever they're doing, that can reside with me. I'll never forget, my dad was a coal miner from the northeast of England. And one day I went there, I'm married with two kids, and the election was on. I said to him, who's winning? He got so despondent because John Howard was winning. Because if you come from where I come from, you don't vote Liberal. You vote Labour. Through and through. Whole families Labour. I said, do you know what they believe, Dad? He says, I don't care. We're Labour people through and through, and so are you. I said, I am not. I voted for John Howard. Well, you might as well have hung me up out to dry. I thought he was going to disown me. I thought he was going to disown me. And it's these principles that they instill in you as a child until you get to an age where you understand what they're saying, yet you don't agree with what they're saying no longer, or you don't agree with their ideology anymore, and you can come against it. What I had done was I had broken an iniquity. Amen? Just because Mum has said it doesn't make it right. Amen? Doesn't make it right. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins shall die, the son who shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So it's entirely up to me. Come on, it's entirely up to you. What I've got to deal with is these iniquities, these bent behaviors, these bent thinking, or these warped ideologies that I've got to deal with in my life to become Christ-like. Some have got more than others. It doesn't make them any different. It just means that I've got to deal with more stuff. I've got to put off the mind of the flesh and put on the mind of Christ. I can't afford to think how they think. I've got to think how he thinks. That's the challenge in my walk. Thinking as he thinks. Doing as he does. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 18, 30 to 32. I'm going to read Jeremiah 31, 29 and 30. It says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die in his own iniquity. Every man shall eat the sour grapes, his teeth that have set on edge. Turn with me to Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 32, 1 and 5. This is David speaking. Psalm 32, 1 and 5. It says, a psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven, and whose sin is covered. A transgression is a willful rebellion against the word of God. I'm going to say that again. A transgression is a willful rebellion and action against the word of God and against God himself. Sin, the Hebrew word there, for sin literally means you fire an arrow and you miss the mark. You miss it. It says contemplation of transgression, forgiveness of sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Iniquity is these bent, warped thinking that is contrary to the word of the Lord. In fact, the thinking will try and twist the word of the Lord to suit its transgression. That's an iniquity. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hands were heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. There's a dryness when I allow them things to dominate my life. When I don't renew my mind and allow that thinking to stay with me. And the sad part about it, when I dictate that bad thinking into my house, I'm not just affecting me. I'm starting to affect those around me. And all of a sudden, my children will think as I think. My children will try to act as I act. I've got to be aware that I've got to break these iniquities in my house. If I want the blessedness of God to flow through my house, I've got to break these concepts, ideologies, warped, twisted thinkings and ideas, whatever they are, contrary to the word, and establish an atmosphere of kingdom living. Are you with me? This is the process that we have to go through to be a blessed family. And the church is only as strong as its families. He says this. When I kept silent, my groans were old. I read that. I acknowledge my what? And my iniquity I have not. This is the love language of now the Father. When you're in love with him and you know he loves you, you can do this. You can acknowledge your sin. I can confess my transgression. I can allow him to minister to me in my iniquity and say, God, I've screwed up. God, my thinking ain't right in this area. I need help to change. But what most of us are like the rest of us, we don't usually get to that point because we're scared or we don't trust him enough with the issues in my life. So what I do, I try to cover them up. I try to make them not as big as what they really are. Am I speaking to anyone this morning? Am I all by myself here? All right. We try and cover them up. And a lot of times we try to cover them up with Christian jargonese. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Amen. And you act like a saint here. You act like a sinner at home. I'm going to make a statement. I want, if you could write this down, make this your headline. You cannot be blessed You can't think you're blessed when you're acting like a sinner. It just doesn't happen. God only blesses the righteous. Amen. Iniquity. You forgave my iniquity and my sin. God wants to wash it away. God wants to cleanse the life up. God wants to cleanse my mind up so my household can be blessed. And blessedness doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. In fact, literally what it means is this: your house will be full of joy. And that sort of stuff, money can't buy. You can't buy joy. You can't buy peace. Iniquity is the crookedness. Turn the next one, son. Iniquity is a crookedness, a bent or crooked, perverted motive. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we've all got one. We've all got it. Some form of another. Iniquity denotes not so much an action or a conduct, but the character or a mindset that's stuck within me, which influences one's decision and my conduct. Transgression is a willful act of rebellion to the truth. Sin is missing the mark. And we all miss the mark. So what has to happen in my house? Turn with me to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. What has to happen is about, you know, we quote the scripture a lot. We really don't know what it means. It says, train the child in the ways that they should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. That word go, literally in the Hebrew, is peh. It means mouth. Words. Mouth, words. They feed off what's coming out of your mouth. Train them up in the ways they should go, in the ways of what's coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. So it's absolutely ridiculous for a Christian family to be bickering and fighting in one another in front of my kids, acting like they shouldn't act, and expecting my kids to grow up in the ways of the Lord. They will eat what you're presenting. So if it's bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment, envy, strife, murder, which is hatred, all those things in my household, my children are having a feast of your iniquity, which then they will eat and they will grow and think, and that is normal. So when he gets married to a her, not another he, when he gets married to a her, he will treat her, if he hasn't transformed his mind and seen the error of his father's way, it's the same way his father treats his mum. Monkey see, monkey do. And she will accept and be loved the way the father's loving the mother, and she's thinking that's normal. And if she comes from an abusive home where the mother is constantly verbally abused, and you don't have to shout at someone to be verbally abused. You can be emotionally abused and in silence. And if there's an emotional abuse, the daughter thinks that is normal. Unless she sees the iniquity and transforms her own mind by the power of the water of the word, because she does not have to walk in that. She doesn't have to accept that. She can be contradictory to that. She can walk in what God has said about that, regardless of what they've done. Are you with me? So it's my responsibility and my role as a man and the wife is to build an atmosphere in my home, an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of grace, an atmosphere of mercy. And if I haven't got anything good to say about my darling at the moment, zip thy lip. Walk away. Stop, keep saying, we need to keep talking about this. When if you see a man zipping his lip, he doesn't want to hear you're talking. Is this too heavy? He would rather be on a rooftop alone than the woman like a dripping tap. That's what Proverbs says. And vice versa. If he can't shut up about football or whatever, we need to communicate. Oh, you know what the Eagles do? That's not communication. Zip your lip. Otherwise, she's going to cook on the rooftop and you're going to go hungry. Just zip it. Just learn that you have to have the mind of Christ in the situation. If your mouth's starting to dictate things that are angry and resentful and hurtful, zip the lip. Seriously. And go back to God and say, God, where is these thought patterns coming from? Why do I have to justify by being right? That's right. Why do you have to justify by being right? May I say this? In a marriage, it doesn't matter who's right. If she's right, praise the Lord, I'm going to get some benefit. If I'm right, praise the Lord, she's going to get some benefit. But if we're both wrong, praise the Lord, at least we're together. It's the truth. And if you're both right, praise the Lord. And then straight away, the thought came in, yeah, but I was more right. No, you're just right. Train the child. It's going to feed what's coming out of the mouth. And they listen when you don't expect them to listen. And they're taken on board when you don't expect them to be taken on board. They can even hear through walls. There has to be an atmosphere in the house. The next generation shouldn't have to hear things that God hates. I'm serious. You can't be blessed and be bitter at the same time. You can't. God wants you to establish an atmosphere in your home that just not blesses Him and shows Him that He is first. Breaking the iniquities and the thought patterns and the crookedness of my thinking and my ideologies and getting into the Spirit of God. Amen. They shouldn't have to listen to it. I must bring an atmosphere in one's house that is contrary to, the ways of God. If I don't, it will develop a pattern of iniquity in my home. Crooked thinking. I know they sound big words, but they're really not. It just means weird, crooked thinking. It's got to be broken. When one's actions and words correspond to his ways, and when I acknowledge my sin, confess my transgressions, and when others have transgressed against me. Now, when was the King James say, forgive me those who trespassed, right? That word trespass is from the word transgression. I've overstepped the mark. When they trespass against me, when I've trespassed against others, or when I might expose my iniquity to the truth that they should see a repentance. This is what they should be seeing, a repentance, a display of mercy, a display of forgiveness and love. They'll eat of that things of the Spirit, seeing me live out a crucified life. Now they're walking in the blessedness of God. Proverbs 6:16 talks about the six things God hates. We're not going to go there, but you can read that yourself. But appearance, actions, and words correspond to God's ways. And when I acknowledge my sin and confess my transgressions, or when others have transgressed against me, or when I expose my iniquity to truth, and they see that repentance, and they see that display of mercy, and they see that display of love and forgiveness, when they see me carrying my cross. Amen. Jesus carried the cross, and there were seven things he mentioned on the cross. Seven. and they will should correlate to me carrying my cross. First thing he says in Luke 23:32, he says this, Father, forgive them. See, one of the attributes of your cross, the first one, the foundation of it all, is forgive. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. That's the atmosphere he wants in my house. Forgiveness. Luke 23, he's talking to the thief. Today you will be with me in salvation. Speaking the best. Speaking over their life, truth and hope, love and forgiveness should be an atmosphere of my home. John 19, Jesus turns around to John and says, behold your mother. Tells the mother, behold your son. In other words, you're accepted and you're loved. You're accepted and you're loved. He wasn't his natural mother and it wasn't her natural son. But such will be the shortcomings. I've got to love them as one of my own. See, the church is not just a group of people. Church is a family. Chapter 19 of John, he says, I thirst. What are you thirsting for? What am I thirsting for? Lord, if possible, take me off my cross. His thirst wasn't that. He had a physical thirst, but his thirst was to fulfill the will of the Father. Even the times in Matthew, he says in 27, he felt forsaken by God. He felt forsaken by God. It's really quite an oxymoron when you think of this one. Because God actually says, he says, I'll never leave you nor. He felt forsaken by God. I can understand what he meant. Because he had never felt the break in communion with the Father. In eternity. He had never experienced the break in communion. Is there any break in communion with another brother or sister? You know, you hear cliches, Christianese. I love them from a distance. Really? Really? So when you get to heaven, you're going to cross the other side of the road when you see them? And you think the Father in heaven is going to let you do that? Really? Better get it right here. I'll just love him from a distance. I love you with the love of the Lord, brother. Really? We are so full of Christianese. But God desires obedience, action. He commended his spirit to his Father. Lord, it's yours. Another part of the development of an atmosphere in my house. My kids have got to see that he's got all of me. Not just some of me. All of me. The last one, it is finished. It is no longer I who lives, but the Christ who lives in me. That's the atmosphere he wants in my home. When I'm not embarrassed about praying, I'm not embarrassed about weeping, I'm not embarrassed about confessing my sin, I'm not embarrassed about telling God about my iniquities and my transgressions and being open and honest in front of my whole home that, you know what, I miss it. I sin. But thank God for the blood of the Lamb. And when they see you celebrate and worship and adoration of your God in your home, it leaves an indelible mark for them to follow. When they see you bow your knee and get up, wipe the tears off your face and say, it's okay. He's still there. He loves me. It's okay. I can still keep on walking. It's okay. I don't feel you yet. I don't feel it yet. We might have had a tiff. I don't feel it yet, but I'm still here. I'm going nowhere. We will see this through. Hallelujah. Could you imagine if God had a tiff with us? You know, his bride-to-be. Oh, too much. Too hard. I'm going to find someone else. He doesn't do that. He keeps seeking me. He keeps loving on me. He'll keep me loving me through everything I'm going through. He'll keep loving on me until love kills it, that thing in me. He'll keep loving. He doesn't stop and say, well, I told you you shouldn't have done that, you peanut. He doesn't say that. He doesn't hit me with a 4x2 and make me belittle me. He loves me. He loves me to death. The death of the old self. Amen. Pick up your cross and follow me. Let's stand this morning. Can you put that one up again in Psalm 32, please? Verse 5. Did anyone get anything out of this? Psalm 32, 5. I think it's the third slide. I'll read it. I want us to come to the altar this morning. Psalm 32. 5. It says this. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. It's not an act of bravery to try and win the battle on your own strength. You will not win. You can't do it in your own strength. I've just got to take it to Him. Say, Lord, I'm fighting this and I don't know what to do about it. Lord, help me. I acknowledge my sin. My iniquity I have not hidden. In other words, I'm going to be open and frank with you, Father. I said I will confess my willful or my transgressions. Confession. The church has got to get away from the thought process that thinking repentance is weakness. It is not. It is an act of strength and humility. In fact, it's one of the greatest gifts He has left to the church. Repentance is a gift. But what it takes is me to humble myself and acknowledge that He is right and I am wrong. And if you think you are right, you will never win that argument. He is right. I am wrong. And I want every born-again believer's house to be blessed. I don't just want it to be blessed for you. I want it to be blessed for your children and your children's children. Amen. But it starts with me. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I want you to seek Him, Jesus. Connect with Him. If you're saved, that shouldn't be hard. Connect with Him. Notice David didn't have to make a great list of his transgressions and his iniquities. He didn't have to make a list. He just had to acknowledge Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anything not right in your house, if my mouth isn't the way it should be, and if my children aren't feeding off the righteousness of God, we need to talk to Him. Hallelujah. I want to say a prayer. If you want to say the prayer with me, that's okay. Father, I acknowledge I'm missing my mark. Forgive me. Strengthen me. And grace me. And Father, I ask You to break every iniquity in my thought life and my character in Jesus' name. Make my crooked path straight. Make any distortion refocused. I ask in the name of Jesus that my household's blessing will start with me. I break the chains. I break the chains in Jesus' name. Lord, I confess my transgressions before You. Forgive me. Wash me in the blood. I thank You for the grace. I thank You for Your love. And I thank You there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I receive it, Your mercy. And Lord, today I choose to follow You wholeheartedly. Give me the strength in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, you just give Him a clap offering this morning because it's Him that's done it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name. And sure, your mouth is a well of life. Because what you say now can affect the generations in front of you. Amen. You know, there's certain things in our lives that we carry physically from generation to generation. Don't we? I've got a little video. I'm not showing it, but I've got a video. My daughter sent me of Shy. And Shy is now licking his lips so much, I'm thinking, Lord, he does it more than me now. My mum did that, and my nana did that. Yet no one in my wife's side did that. No one in my dad's side did that. It was my mum. Things are passed down. I've got two crooked fingers. They point out like that. My granddad had that. No, no, they're all right. They're quite cute, actually. My granddad had that. We've all got something. But one thing I don't have to have is the way they think. I don't have to have that. And though it might have influenced as a young man, I choose this day. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, success week, and a blessed week. Yet for me and my house, we are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please, if you're able to stay, we're going to have our AGM in 5 minutes. So just have your quick break, toilet break, or whatever you need to do, and we will have our AGM begin in 5 minutes. We will not keep you long, I promise, and it is painless. Glory to God.